Good morning. We're 3 weeks into a series that we're calling Recalculating, about what to do when plans change, which couldn't come at a better time because pretty much everyone's plans have changed these last couple of weeks. Changes that look like are going to remain in place for at least another month. I know when we planned this sermon series, we planned on preaching it to a full house right here in church each Sunday, but our plans changed, and a little recalculating had to be done. Now, thank the Lord we can still meet online, and we want to thank all those who worked overtime to make that possible, especially Jeff and Blake and Drew. Thank you. And if you're watching online, I wish you'd extend to them a hearty amen in your comment column, or say thank you to Jeff and Blake and Drew in any way you can. They've really gone the extra mile to provide this opportunity for us to actually respond this morning to this morning's worship service. I didn't even know this kind of technology existed, and now it's at our fingertips. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope your worship experience is better by it. But please remember to thank these folks who deserve our thanks, and please do it right now. It's obviously not the same as being here. That's true. We look forward to the day when all this is through and we can all meet together as a church again. But until then, would you please thank these fellows for providing this online experience? Even those of you who are watching from other churches, because maybe your church is not able to provide such an online worship experience, would you thank these fellows too? You can just simply comment and we'll make sure they're forwarded and these guys will get your thank yous. Those of you who are watching from another state, and I know that some of you are out there too, because my West Virginia family is part of the beneficiaries of this online experience, and I would like for you to thank these fellas too. Just a quick comment. Thank you, gentlemen. We do thank you. Now, this coming Easter weekend, we have an extra treat waiting on us. Everyone is invited to a drive-by experience, a greeting underneath our church portico where cars can safely be driven through and drivers can roll down their windows, and they will receive a heartfelt yet socially distant Easter greeting. They'll be given communion supplies for their families and an Easter in a box kit for all their kids. We also are hoping to have a special Easter gift for each family driving through. We'll have an elder or a staff member waiting for you under the church portico from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Good Friday evening. And then between 9 a.m. and noon on Saturday morning. Now, nobody will be allowed to get out of their cars. There'll be no physical contact, but you will receive what we believe will help you truly celebrate Easter better with your family. And we plan to have a very special Easter morning worship service online at 10:15 next Sunday. We plan to record that service right outside in front of our crosses and empty tomb. What a better place to have Resurrection morning services. Now, that's weather permitting, of course, but we plan to have an Easter service that you'll be proud to invite all of your friends and family to attend with you online without ever having to leave their living rooms. Now, all this took a little bit of recalculating. This is not how we planned to celebrate Easter this year. Sometimes plans change, and when they do, sometimes a little recalculating is necessary. Sometimes it becomes necessary to release the illusion of self-control and to restore command and control to Him who is truly in control of it all. Now, that's what we've been learning in our current series. How we're going to get through this: by staying in and by doing what we can, yes. But we're going to get through this also by releasing this illusion that we've got this, and by restoring our confidence in the fact God's really the one who's got this after all. And he's got a great movement yet coming to comfort us. It's not over. He's not through. Now, this morning, we're going to change gears a bit, and we're going to talk about repenting of things we thought we'd never do. Another recalculation when our plans change. Repenting of things we thought we'd never do. Up to this point, we've talked about the need to do a little recalculating because of things that have happened to us over which we've had no control. But this morning, we're going to talk about the need for doing a little bit of recalculating because of the things that have come to us because of us. Things that we have done to ourselves. And specifically, we're going to talk about the consequences we've brought upon ourselves because of our sin. And let's start right off this morning by saying this. Never underestimate our ability to sin. Now, that's what Peter did in this text that Ashley and Alex so well read for us. Peter thought he'd be the exception. Instead, he proved to be the rule. Though they all fall away, Peter said to Jesus, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. But he did, didn't he? Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And in response, Peter said this, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And the reading says all the disciples said the same. But folks, before the night is through, they will all desert him. And Peter will find himself sitting outside the courtyard of the high priest where Jesus is on trial for his life. And a servant girl will come up to him and said, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you mean. That's one. And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him. She said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, Peter denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. That's two. After a little while, the bystanders came up and they said to Peter, certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. And then Peter began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately, to cry. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And the Bible says, Peter went out and wept. Peter wept because Peter did what Peter thought he could never do. Ever happened to you? Peter wept because Peter did what Peter thought he could never do. Peter was the rock. Jesus said so himself. Peter was the first to get Jesus right, to state who Jesus was so simply, so correctly, that believers all over the world have been parroting Peter's words ever since. You probably said them too. When you confessed Christ with those words, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you were parroting Peter's words. Words that were so right and so well spoken and so well defined as to who Christ was that Jesus himself answered Peter and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said to Peter. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the kind of faith and stock that Jesus put in this man, this rock. The cream of the crop when it came to listening to heaven. The cream of the crop when it came to doing what heaven wanted done. But the problem came when Peter forgot he was still human. And only human, with every inclination to sin as any other human. That's all the best of us are. I used to pray that the Lord would let me preach someday like a certain preacher I had put high up on a pedestal. And now I pray that the Lord will help me finish nothing like that man now that he has fallen and shown he was only human. That's the problem with idols. That's the problem with pedestals. Especially when we put ourselves on pedestals. It only makes the distance further and the pain greater when we fall. Not if we fall, but when we fall. Because we're all only human. Now, Peter thought it would never happen to him. But Peter was wrong, as is everyone and anyone who underestimates his or her ability to sin. The Bible is just full of examples. Cain probably never thought he'd kill his brother Abel, but he did. Abraham probably never dreamed he'd pass his wife off to another man as his sister to save his own skin, but Abraham did that. King Saul probably never thought he'd consult a witch to conjure up the dead for him, but he did. David never thought he'd sleep with another man's wife. He sure enough did. He probably never thought he'd devise a scheme to cover up his dastardly deed by ensuring the death of that woman's husband. But that's exactly what David did. This season of the year, we remember how Judas Iscariot ended his life. Judas probably never thought, never dreamed he'd take his own life, but he did. And here Peter thought he'd never deny Christ. Though all forsake you, I never will. But he did. Three times. Just like Christ said. Even after Jesus warned him. Think of that for a moment. Even after Jesus warned the man, Peter corrected him. Peter corrected Jesus. Peter, who has to have the last word, assured Jesus that even if everyone else deserted him, not him. Not him. Peter was willing to throw every other believer under the bus, but not him. Not him. Peter had put himself on too high of a pedestal. And what does the Bible say about anyone who would do such a thing? Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he, what? Fall. How much better might Peter have been served had Peter fell down at Jesus' knees like Peter did up in Galilee when he first met Jesus and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." That's all any of us are. Sinful men and women. Now that's the bad news. Let me tell you the good news this morning. Just as we should never underestimate our ability to sin, we should never underestimate God's willingness to forgive. what was it the old man John Newton, the author of the song Amazing Grace, said before he died at the age of 82. As his mind was failing him, Newton is quoted as saying, "Although my memory's fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior." Amen? And that comes out loud and clear in our text read to us this morning as Jesus prepares his followers for their fall, yes, but also for their future forgiveness as well. "You will all fall away because of me this night," Jesus said. "For it's written," and then he quotes from Zechariah the prophet, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." But, Jesus says in verse 32, "After I am raised, I will go before you to Galilee. I will go before you because I still have plans for you. I have something to say to you up in Galilee." And what was it that Jesus said to the women leaving the empty tomb on Easter morning after Jesus is raised? We'll hear those words next Sunday. Jesus will say to them, the resurrected Jesus, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Because Jesus was not through with those who had deserted him, with those who had denied him, with those who did what they thought they could never do to him. Jesus still had something to say to them. He still had plans for them. And Matthew's gospel ends by saying, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him." This seemed to be too good to be true to them. Jesus was risen. And not only was he risen, but Jesus wasn't through with them who had deserted him. The Bible says Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Only then did Jesus leave them. After they knew, not just that Jesus was risen, but after they knew Jesus had forgiven them and that Jesus wasn't through with them and that Jesus had great plans for them to take his forgiveness into the whole world. Now, we had another person accept that offer of forgiveness again this past week. We'll see his baptism in just a few minutes on the video. But we've seen others accept that offer of forgiveness each week since we've been unable to meet. And I'm praying that someone will receive that offer of forgiveness this week as well. And if you're ready to receive that offer of forgiveness this morning, or you just want to know more about that offer of forgiveness, then all you have to do is click on that next steps button on your computer screen or your digital device. I think on your cell phone you'll find it under the hamburger menu in the top left-hand corner. Simply click on next steps, and you'll be asked to give us your name, email address, or phone number so that Jeff can get back with you. You can tell us whether you'd like to begin to know more about this offer of forgiveness. Oh, we'd be so happy to tell you. Now, if you've already come to believe in Jesus as God's provision for the forgiveness of your sins, you'll be offered the same opportunity to be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and gift of his Spirit, just like these others before you. And if you've already been immersed into Christ, you'll be invited to join one of our life groups where together we try to become more and more like Christ, and where we hope eventually you'll join us in building the kingdom of Christ. But whatever you do, we encourage you, please don't do nothing. Because you must remember and never underestimate the power of regret. That's what Peter did. And the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. Judas Iscariot went out and hung himself. Never underestimate the terrible, life-destroying power of regret. Our life groups that met online this week learned about a woman who carried around a lifetime of regret for an abortion that she chose to have way back in college. And she'd been carrying that around all her life. Her secret regret still holding power over her. We learned about a man who lost $25 million of other people's money through some foolish investments. Thank the Lord we learned how one of them, through Christ, learned how she could be forgiven and how she could learn to forgive herself for her decision. But the other man, we learned how he took his own life. That's the power of regret. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, the Bible says. Whereas worldly grief produces death. And we're in the life business. That's what this is all about. Letting the world know that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's what we pray. We all choose to have this morning. And God's people said, text that amen in, would you? Because I believe it. God wants you forgiven. Amen and amen, amen. Now I close by reminding you that all four Gospels include the story of Peter's denial, of Jesus' warning, and Peter's denial. Many of the happenings in Jesus' life and in the life of his disciples are only told in one or two or three of the Gospels. Many of those stories are only told in the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, known as the Synoptic Gospels. Synoptic meaning same view of things. But some happenings in the life of Jesus and the life of Jesus' disciples are so important that they are told and then retold, and then told again, and then, as if that wasn't enough, told once more in all four Gospels. The crucifixion, for instance, is told in all four Gospels. The resurrection, all four Gospels. And then there's Peter's denial. Jesus' warning, Peter's denial, the cock crowing, and Peter going out and weeping bitterly. All four Gospels. And I believe that happening is included in all four Gospels because of how important the lessons are that it teaches, how we should never underestimate our ability to sin, but then never underestimate God's willingness to forgive either, giving us a grace that is greater than all our sin. But never underestimate the power of regret if you choose to do nothing about this. Our prayer this morning is that no one will make that decision. Let's pray together now. Could we please, Lord God, thank you for your Son Jesus, our Savior. who saves us from our sin, who provides a way for our forgiveness, a path to heaven, a life we can live upon earth without regret. Lord, we pray, no one this morning will choose to do nothing about that. And we pray this in Jesus' name.